صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى الله عليه وسلم. May Allah increase the honor and grace, the rank of our master.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. My Islam brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, welcome back to our beautiful silsila, Khuluqin Azim. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, the topic itself, Khuluqin Azim, was taken from the verse of the glorious Quran, Wa innaka la'ala Khuluqin Azim, where Allah Azza wa Jal is praising the beautiful character, the beautiful attributes of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And this is what the whole silsila is about. It's about the beautiful attributes, the beautiful seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best man to ever walk the surface of this earth, the best man, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, created, and the source of all creation, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Remember, he was the teacher, he was sent as a teacher, he was sent as a warner, he was sent to beautify our characters as well. And this is what we're trying to do. We're trying to learn from the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those beautiful attributes. Every single attribute is beautiful in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's no words and there's not enough ink that people can write. One of the beautiful historians, he writes that the whole world, if it's all the waters in the ocean, if they were used as ink to write the seerah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's praise, the water will aspect of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is such an important topic that every person, you know, needs to know about this. And today we're going to be talking about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's beautiful timetable, about time management, how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us time management, how to use our time wisely. You know, so it's very, very important that time we've got left in our life, we need to utilize that time. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, as usual, MashaAllah Azza wa Jal, Ammar bhai is with us in the silsila, and inshallah Azza wa Jal, we're going to talk through the beautiful jadwal, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's timetable.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. It's a very interesting topic within itself. You know, obviously, it's such a common phrase, time management. And that being the reason, that's why we have named our this particular episode as time management. But in reality, firstly, if we look at our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you would say that the time would present itself in the court of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to gain blessings. You know, for us, we need to manage. And even to the extent that time management, you know, if we look at it, and you know, when you look at the experts in this field, they would say the same, that this, even though it's become a common phrase, it's not fully accurate in the sense that everybody gets 24 hours.
Gee.
You can't manage time because you've got that. You've got to manage yourself.
Beautiful
to
point.
Ensure that you have managed yourself so that you're making use of time. Until you manage yourself, the time is the same for everybody and the time is always there. But until you have managed yourself, you're not going to be able to utilize that time. So I think a lot of it returns back to personal management. But as I said, because it's such a common phrase, to avoid any confusion, we're going to stick to timing, quoting it as time management. Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with regards to his beautiful timetable and his beautiful style, with regards to him being inside his blessed house, outside, in the gathering, and so on and so forth, Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, he once asked his blessed father, Sayyidina Ali al-Murtada, karramallahu ta'ala wajahul kareem, that when the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would enter the blessed house, what was his routine then? You know, how did he spend his time within the house? And Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajahul kareem says, he replies that when he would enter the blessed house, his stay in that house, his time that he would spend in there, he would divide it into three different categories.
Masha.
And those three different categories would be, one portion would be for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one portion would be to spend with family,
subhanahu,
and one portion would be his own personal portion. his own personal time.
Alhamdulillah. You know, I can relate this to Amir Ahl Sunnah, because Amir Ahl Sunnah, mashallah, Azawajal, is teaching the Muballighin as well, that you need to manage your time as well. You know, sometimes people say, I don't have enough time to do this, I don't have enough time to do that. If you really sit down and ponder, maybe we're spending more time in this thing than what we need to be spending. Like, for example, if people say, I don't get time. You know, this is a common thing that people say, don't get time for reading the Quran. You know, I'm really, really busy. But what happens is, you are spending that time that you're supposed to be reading the Quran, you're spending it with your family, or you're spending it at work, or you're spending it with your friends. That is the time that you're supposed to be reading the Quran. Because it's not managed, that's why we come out.
There are so many ways to get distracted, you know, in this day and age. It's just amazing the amount of distractions you have, and that's where you need to manage yourself to make sure you're not going there. But inshallah, we'll touch upon that. Obviously, with regards to the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, likewise, we said, you know, for the muballighin, for those that want to carry out, you know, not just the muballighin, whoever wants to achieve anything in life, anything at all, he's got to, you know, he's got to be able to somehow, one way or the other, manage himself in order to manage his time properly. Like Sayyidina Ali Karamallahu Wajhahu Al-Kareem, so in terms of his personal time, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he would even divide that, then his personal time, and then that portion of his time, he would give it to amongst the people as well. He'd split it in one sense. So then people especially that would come to the Blessed House, the Sahaba Ikram Alayhim Ridwan, they would ask questions, they would learn, and the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would teach them, and he would instruct them that those of you that are here, go and deliver this message to those that could not make it here for whatever reason, be it they were ill or whatever reason it is, those who cannot come here, deliver this to them.
Very famous hadith, Pak, Balighu anni walu aya, pass on from me whatever you know.
Subhanallah. And even, you know, in the court of the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when the people would attend, and this is a very beautiful point to take on board, you know, people would attend, and the thing that would be heard, or the thing that would be focused upon, would be the thing that was beneficial, not just for that person on an individual basis, but for the community as a whole. You know, that thing would be beneficial for the community, for the general public. And that would be the thing that was discussed more, that was focused upon more than just those particular individual issues. And likewise, when we, for example, see the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is a beautiful thing for us, is the people that would go to the court of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what they would learn from there. You know, they would go in and they'd come out as leaders, as teachers for the people. And this is another beautiful point for us to take on board. And you know, from a learning perspective as well, when you learn something, one of the points behind that learning is, if you have in mind that I've got to teach this, you will learn that thing from many angles. Because as a teacher, you have to ensure that the student understands. And this is with regards to learning anything, you know, religious or academic. If you're learning it with that in mind, that I have to go and teach this, you will learn it much better. So likewise, you know, the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in his court, people would go and they'd come out as teachers.
You know, that just shows you one thing, a beautiful thing you mentioned, is that when the Sahaba Ikram used to be with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it used to be with the intention to go and pass this knowledge on to others. Number one is that if we look into our lives today, how many times do we even go to the masjid? How many times do we go to an alim deen and sit with him and learn about our deen? You know, and then if we are not going to the scholars and learning our deen, how are we going to come back and teach our own children, our own families? Because Alhamdulillah, Azawajal, Dawat-e-Islami has made it much easy for us, that you have Islamic sisters, weekly gatherings, if Islamic sisters, dars. So our women at home, they can go and learn something as well. But if there's an environment at home where women don't go anywhere apart from shopping and here and there, they're not going to learn about the deen. And if the husbands or the man of the house is not going and learning about his deen, then the woman's never going to learn about her deen. Then what happens is, that's where you start to have problems at home, because now you are going and learning something, but you're not passing it on. And then what's happening is, you are trying to do something at home, and then she doesn't understand, and then clashes start.
And
there,
it's not only limited to that level, but rather keeping in mind that the mother in particular plays a big role in the upbringing of the children and the education of the children. So if the mother herself is not, you know, sufficiently educated, especially from an Islamic perspective, in terms of how to rightfully and correctly bring up her children, then obviously she's going to fail at that as well. And that is going to have an impact on the child's life. So, you know, one person either being lazy in learning and attaining knowledge or passing it on, that starts a big cycle off in terms of, you know, obviously he is impacted, his household is impacted, and likewise his children will also
be impacted. It's like a relay team, isn't it? You know, that four or five people will be running in that relay team. If one of them is slow, the whole team loses. Wow. In the same way, if our home, you know, Ustaz Sahib used to say to us that it's like a triangle. Yeah, you go one, the parents, second, the teacher, and third, the children. This is a triangle, learning triangle. Now, if you look at that, if the parents are missing in that triangle, the child's going to suffer. If the teacher is not putting his efforts, the child's going to suffer. And if the child doesn't put his efforts in, then he's going to suffer himself. So again, it's very, very important that Alhamdulillah, Azawajal, you know, we should be thankful to Dawud-e-Islami, to Amiri Al-Sunnah, for giving us this beautiful environment and 104 different departments in Dawud-e-Islami plus. Yeah, and Alhamdulillah, we've got so much opportunity to learn. You know, you got mothers like, you know, the mother of Sayyidina Ghawse Pak radiallahu ta'ala anhu. You know, she used to be in wuzu when she used to feed her son. You know, she used to be cooking the food. She used to read Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Sadly, you know, what's happening in our own homes today is the mother, maybe she'll be feeding the son, yeah, but she'll be watching a movie. You know, she'll be making something at home. She'll be listening to songs. Then when that son, same child grows up, then what happens is, he doesn't listen to me. You didn't bring him up according to the proper way, the sunnat way. If you had given him love, you know, I know my grandma, yeah, Allah Ta'ala bless her, mashallah, with paradise. You know, whenever she used to make the dish, she used to say, Bismillah. You know, she used to do, you know, keep on moving and Bismillah. She used to feed the children, Bismillah. She used to eat. Everything was Bismillah, Rahman Rahim. That's where you get barakat in the home. Now, if you got movies playing at your home, if you got, you know, kids messing about, look at the problem is, maybe we haven't brought them up according to the sunnah, and that's the time that you need to give to your family. Coming back to the topic, that's the time you should be giving to your family. Now we're not giving that time to our family.
And at the same time, when we have some free time, we tend to leave a lot for later on in life. And you know, this is another beautiful teaching from the teachings of the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Along with his time management, you know, his the way he sort of broke down his day, and he designated and assigned some time for this activity, this and this. Along with that, like I said, you know, there's a practical side, there's also the verbal side where he taught. But you know, he taught the ummah, he taught his followers. So that the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Ightanim khamsan qabla khamsin," that value five things before five things. And shababaka qabla haramik, wa sihhataka qabla saqamik, that value your youth before old age. And this is such a powerful message. If we look at what's, you know, what is behind this line, you know, the whole, one full episode, one full silsila could easily be just done on just this particular line itself. Likewise, your health, your well-being before illness. And then وَغِنَاكَ قَبْلَ فَقْرِكَ, and your wealth before poverty. وَفَرَاغَكَ قَبْلَ شُغْلِكَ, and your free time, leisure time before being busy, before ending up becoming busy. وَحَيَاتَكَ قَبْلَ مَوْتِكَ, and your life before death.
Allahu
Akbar. So these five things, you know, youth and health, youth before old age, health before illness, wealth before poverty, time, having free time before actually becoming busy, and life itself before death.
You know, you mentioned earlier on, each one of these points can be a whole as program.
Definitely.
You know, and taking, you know, each one of these things, Subhanallah, if someone really does take care, what happens is, when we are free, you know, I met with an Islamic brother, what do you do? Nothing to do. I've got nothing to do. I don't even have a job. Okay, having a job is something to do with the world, isn't it? You need to run your family and everything. It's important to have a job as well. But how come you are not doing anything? You know, Deen doesn't want its followers, Islam doesn't want its followers just to spend their life just doing nothing. There's so many things. You come to Dawat Islami, 105 departments, which one would you like to do? Mm-hmm. You know, there's so much work to do. Sometimes, you know, I get confused with people say, oh no, it's going to be a Sunday. I get really bored on a Sunday. I got nothing to do on a Sunday. You know, MaazAllah, you know, on Sunday, you go your 5 times in a Maaz, so that's something to do. Yeah, if it's wajib to do for you to go to the masjid, read your jamaat, you got many things to do. Go to the masjid, clean the masjid, you know, take your children with you to the masjid. Is that not work? You know what we think of work is dunya jara paisa kamane, and we think that is work. All this, yeah, this isn't work. Yeah, I say that as well. That is not work. That is shughal. وَمَا هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَحْوٌ وَلَعِبٌ. The life of this world is game and play. Shughal is game and play. Now this work that we understand, that is work. That is shughal. That's going to pass. Asal work is the work of deen.
SubhanAllah. And you know, at the same time we have both extremes. Like there's a one side which you've said, you know, so much, too much leisure time. Yeah. So much on their hand, they're like sometimes confused, you know, I'm getting bored because I've got nothing to do. On the other hand, there's the other extreme when they say, you know, I can never get enough done. I've got way too much on my plate. I can never get it covered. And both the sides, if we were to look at it from an honest perspective, in reality, we can blame the world, you know, oh, it's such a fast-paced life, such a fast-moving world, and there's so much, you know, in this modern day and age, there are so many demands from one individual. But a lot of that, actually, the blame actually comes onto us. For example, if you look at how we're generally a person who is working as well, he's jumping between two things. He's jumping between his work and then his sort of other time wasters like social media in particular, like all of these, you know, video sites, television. A while back, I think probably in one particular country with regards to that, I read the research that on average a person spends 4 hours,
Allah,
4 hours watching the TV and 4 hours other screens like his phones. So that's like a full-time job, which is generally a full-time job of nonsense.
If you spend 8 hours sleeping, that's 20 years. 8 hours work, that's 20 years. That 20 years you've got left to do something, then you've got to give your family time, you've got your own personal time. If you're spending 4 hours on TV and social media, you've only got 10 years left.
No, in terms of that, you know, making use of small times, like, you know, me walking from one place to another, you know, even for example, Alhamdulillah, now Dawat Islami, you know, we have the weekly risala, which also comes in audio form. Everybody's got earphones in. Why don't I play the risala, have earphones in? I'm walking from this place to another for 10 minutes. In that 10 minutes,
mindset, I could... Mindset's not...
You know, because like, for example, on average, a person would probably end up, you know, especially in the Western countries, because there's all that queuing up to do. Everywhere you go, you've got to queue up. You know, people complain about queuing up. But on average, around about 4 to 5 years, a person spends queuing up in a line. It's 4 to 5 years. That's a big time now. So once again, making use of that, you know, like... You can't do the same thing that you could do when you're sat at a desk, but it does not mean you're totally useless at that time.
You know, if I've got earphones in my ear and I'm even listening to the Quran or a bayan, are people not going to think, yara molvi ita to kono gaane sunna? Because people think that earphones are to listen to music, because that's what is portrayed in the media's everything. New, you know, things are coming out, and people attribute them straight away to music. So again, it's not always that people are listening to music. They could be listening to the tilawat of the Quran.
Is it from our personal, you know, from a personal point of view, we shouldn't, you know, especially for a Muslim brother, we should not think negatively, firstly, about a Muslim brother. Secondly, I think the trend is, it depends on the occupation of each individual. Like, you know, somebody that... a random person would, you know, think differently, but if you're well known, you know, they know you as a person. You know, somebody who is, even for example, if he's not affiliated with any sort of religious organization, or he does not do much religious work, but you know, every time he listens to something which is related to his job, like maybe, you know, he has a business and he's constantly just listening to advice on that. Now when you see him with earphones, then you're going to think, you know, well, he's probably listening to that. And likewise, when you're amongst people, you have, in terms of, for example, your physical appearance, if you've got the beard, you've got the imama. Now, a person who is sort of, you know, slightly at least informed, he'd know, okay, this person's a religious person. Yeah. So I think that That whole concept of, people are going to think I'm listening to music, I don't think that matters as much. Firstly,
we can say
it's something to kind of, if you want to leave something, you've got 100 excuses.
I met with an Islamic brother and he goes, look, I'm too busy, I can't, I leave work and I go to him, brother, let me give you one thing, You've got, mashallah, you've got a good car. Your phone can be Bluetooth with your car. You can connect it together. Yes, I can. Then every week I'll send you a booklet. Amir al-Sunnah, is given us to read that booklet. I'll send you in an audio form. All you need to do is just play it. I'll WhatsApp it to you. Play it on your phone. You can listen to it. He travels about an hour and a half every single day. You can listen to that booklet many times. I'll give you some verses of the Quran, some tilawas, tafsir, siratul jinan. Everything is here. I'll give you that, listen to that, rather than not doing anything or even listening to music. Alhamdulillah, listening to music is something that we should never do anyway. But listening to Naat-e Paak as well is good, but knowledge is something else. So Alhamdulillah, one day, this is booklet, it's only once a week. Listen to that. Get that knowledge. You are saying you don't have time to learn knowledge. How are you going to teach your children about knowledge of the deen? And if you as the father has given up in front of the shaitan that I can't get time, how are you going to teach your children? And if they grow up, now you're saying today you don't get time for the deen, then obviously you don't have time for your family either.
In terms of, in terms of means, like the way to learn knowledge, there are so many. Just, as you said, mindset. But along with that, like I was saying, people are jogging between two things, work, and then there's that social media side, TV side. And maybe once we hear about, one day a person hears about the sort of harmful effects, he's like fully determined, I'm going to get off this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. But it doesn't last long. Because we think, just me, I'm fully determined, it's enough. You've got to realize all of these things, they're designed, thus in their infrastructure, they're designed to be addictive. They're designed to get you addicted to them. The whole, for example, now our, especially youngsters, but to be honest, to say youngsters and teenagers is kind of a wrong thing, because even the elderly, everybody is hooked onto games. Now games, if you look, there's a big portion of money which is spent looking at the neurological and psychological side of things, that research to see what can get this person addicted to this game. So for example, one psychological concept is that if there is something, a task that you need to do in a game, now you'll be shown your reward generally before you complete the task. If you complete this task, or the mission as they call it, you will get this reward. Because when you see that reward, now your brain gets that dopamine hit and you want to go ahead and complete that, as opposed to if you completed something and you saw your reward afterwards, it's not going to have the same effect. Now, all of this research is people, the game company that's designing the game, they're spending that. Likewise, social media is designed to, because the more time you spent on that platform, the more money the company makes.
Yeah, definitely.
There's all sorts of ways of income for them.
The people who design these games, the people who design these very famous social websites, even they are saying it's a waste of time.
For example, with regards to that, there are so many examples in my mind. But just the thing that the social media side itself. For example, let's say somebody goes on and he opens up any sort of a website where he can watch videos, or he can just, browse through his newsfeed or whatever. And he's there, he goes on to his mind, I'm just going to relax for about 5 minutes and I'm going to watch a small clip or something. And what ends up happening is, once again, that dopamine hit, neurologically, basically, the dopamine hit, that chemical is the one that makes you feel good. And when you feel good, when you feel happy, you want more of that. So what happens is, you watch one video and go to the next. Before you know it, you've been on there for half an hour, 1 hour easily, and you've just been watching random videos. So what you did not realize is you came for a bit of a relaxation and you've dragged it on. Because you don't realize you need to get off it.
And especially, Marbe, if that happens at home, that important time that you had to give to your children and your family, now that important time has been taken over by social media. As soon as you get home, assalamu alaikum. Even when we're eating, we're browsing through our phones, when we are reading our namaz, Amir al-Islam mentioned that in the Madani Muzakara the other day, as soon as Imam Sahib goes, Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah, immediately, oh, whose messages did I get? You know, that was the time here you are supposed to be with Allah Azza wa Jal after Salah. There's so many wazaif that you should read.
Dua, Salatul, Tasbih,
Fatima. So many blessings. But this phone or the social media, because your interest is more there than here.
And I think, for example, you know, the website or social media itself, they, as I said, they're well aware. The sort of what they're making use of is us, our reactive sort of a nature, that we react to everything. You know, when we get a message, when our phone buzzes, it vibrates, got to check it straight away. When we get a notification, got to check it straight away. And that's what's happening, you know, because we just react to everything, everything throughout the day, everything throughout the day. It's so easy for us to get distracted. And if we're going to get distracted like that, we're not going to complete what we need to. You know, that's where it comes. If we're not going to have time for the things that matter, because we're constantly getting distracted.
You know, I was reading a survey, and it mentioned in that survey that, it was a survey about the UK, and they said that millions of pounds is wasted in businesses in the UK where employees are not putting their full effort, they're not working, but they're on the websites.
Exactly. Yeah?
So even now, you know, forget, you know, just put deen on one side. You know, we've already, mazallah, neglected our deen, because I'm sorry to say this, but we have neglected our deen. Our deen is secondary now. First is dunya, dunya, dunya. But you look at the dunya itself now. That time that you're supposed to be spending working, you're an employee, you're supposed to be giving your 100% to your boss. But now what's happening, as soon as he turns his back, yeah, what we're doing now is on the website. You know, we're browsing on media. As soon as someone comes in, put your, and sadly that's even in religious organizations as well. You might be a teacher in the madrasa, yeah, you're not supposed to be using the phone at that time. But what happens, they'll be browsing through their phone. Soon as Nazim Saab or anything comes, put it underneath. You know, who are you fooling? You're just fooling yourself. You know, if you're at work, and I was shocked here, millions of pounds every day, sorry, as I mentioned here, in it, millions of pounds every day where people are not giving their 100%, and it's a loss to the business.
To claim back that time, the harder a thing is for you to access, the less likely you are to do it. For example, let's say, you know, you're really, really hungry, and you have a plate of food in the fridge, and then you have some more food which is packed up, which you can't even open with your hand. You're going to have to get a scissors out and then cut that and then take it out and then warm it up and so on and so forth. If you're really hungry and you're just dying for some food, as I say, you're naturally, without even, you know, subconsciously, you might not put much thought into it, but if you think, you're naturally going to go for that plate, because that is the easier option. The harder you make things for yourself, the less likely you are to do it. You know, with regards to, for example, the neurological research, they say that, I think, 2 or 5 feet, if it's within 5 feet, it's easily accessible. So if you don't want to be doing something, for example, you know, you don't, if you're sat here, your phone's there, you're going to keep on checking it. If you don't want to be doing that, keep it at about 5 feet distance or more than that. So you know, then it's going to take you effort to get up.
Especially at night, you know, even regarding your health as well, you shouldn't keep a mobile phone close to your head at night. So that's another thing.
Also, generally the blue light that is emanating from these screens, that causes disturbance within the sleep of a person.
Yeah.
But I was saying, so now, here's the thing. For example, I read quite a while back now that some, you know, a particular individual, they were very... In terms of their money, they were wasting it a lot. Wherever they'd go, the card would be there. Just go pay. And you know, you don't think much at the time. Later on, when they realize, wait a minute, this is happening a lot. So obviously, this is one sort of a thing. You know, they started to freeze their card in an ice cube. So what would happen is, every time I want to go out, first I've got to do what? Break the ice cube, get the card out. It's effort. And in that time, first, secondly, you've had time.
Physically
put it in an ice cube. So what's happening is...
Not a bad idea, though, isn't it?
What's happening is, you cannot be bothered going through all of that effort, firstly.
Yeah.
Secondly, whilst you're doing that, is giving you time to think things through. What am I going to buy with this? Do I really need to do this? That extra time is... You know, so that in itself, now that helped cut down a lot of expenses for that person. But what I'm saying now, for us, if we look at, for example, when we open up our mobile phone, straight on our home screen, what are the apps that we have? The ones that we use the most, the ones that are social media apps. The first thing we need to do is remove those from our home screen. So then what's happening is, we're not, you know, now we're to that extent where we take our mobile phone out and we just unlock it, and we're straight away, without even thinking, opening that app, because we're so used to click, click, click.
Gee.
So if we've removed it from there, now we can't click it. And when we can't click it, we say, hold on, what's going on? Then it comes to our mind, oh yeah, I removed it from here for that reason. So now before you even go and search for it, you're going to be thinking, do I need to open it? And if you can ask that question, do I need to open it, or am I just going on there to waste some time? That will firstly help you to cut down on a lot of the usage.
I was talking to an Islamic brother, yeah, and he goes, I've got a really bad habit, you know, on going into a certain social media website, and I just waste a lot of time. And I go, just, you know, some of the apps, you can't even remove them. You know what I'm saying, uninstall,
but I'm just saying, you know, from your, like, for example, when you unlock, they're on the home screen, at least remove them from there.
But the thing is, yeah, if you know that they're still there, you can use them. That's another deterrent, yeah, you can still get back, you know, you can still save a bit of time. But some of the apps, yeah, they design them in such a way that you can't remove them, uninstall them. All you do is you have to activate or deactivate them. Now, one Islam brother, he goes, every time, you know, mashallah, Azawajal, he's been listening to the Beyonds of Nigrani Shura, Amiri Ahle Sunnat, and Mashallah Madani channel. And he goes, every time I listen to them, and I goes, no, I'm going to deactivate this. So he deactivates that. And then he goes, a few days later, you know, it's this drug in it that he's got in his system. He goes, sometimes what happens, I'll be sad, I'll be bored, and I'll activate it, and I'll use it, and then I'll deactivate it again. But the thing is, you're trying on you. That even if 1 hour you deactivated it, that 1 hour you saved yourself from wasting that 1 hour. So don't think to yourself, because I keep deactivating or uninstalling or installing, what's the point? No, there is a point. There is a point, because that 1 hour or that 1 minute either that you are spending away from your social media, wasting time. You know, like, I just want to explain this to the viewers, yeah, that not all these things are bad. Dawat Islami works on social media. Dawat Islami has got a Madani channel. Dawat Islami has got a website. Like Amir Ahle Sunnah has got his own page. Nigrani Shura, Mufti Qasim Sahab. They've all got their own pages, but they are working for the deen. So it's not, these things are not bad. We keep on reiterating that. They're not bad. It's the way you use it. You can use it for the deen. You know, WhatsApp, everyone uses. Why don't you use WhatsApp to send good messages? Dawat Islami social media. Alhamdulillah, I get a message every single day. It's a separate department, Dawat Islami, that sends you a message every day regarding your social media. Prayer times, you know, remind you, you'll be busy working, prayer times, so download that app. When it's time for namaz, inshallah, the azan will play. And you know, the thing is, Dawat Islami is there actively helping us. We need to help ourselves by downloading these apps and just removing some of the apps and bringing these apps, that will help you as well.
And also, like, you know, you said, for example, deactivate and activate, and we've spoken about this in the past as well, you know, in terms of habit, like you're really sort of motivated and you get rid of something, but 3-4 days later it is starting to bug you because you want to get back onto it. But as I said that time, you know, if you can push yourself for about a month or so without this, then that temptation will slowly, inshallah, start to fade away anyways, because your mind realizes, you know, I've tried pushing, it's not giving anything, any importance to this, you must have other things to do now, let's remove this or put it at the back somewhere. So you know, it will stop bugging you. But from the other side, for example, let's say, now this is another thing, you know, how you set up work. Now this could be religious work or academic work, you know, for example, somebody working on their personal project, or likewise, you know, the reason why we're listening to all of this, you know, time management and how to manage time better, is one intention should be so that I can actually make out time for my religious activities as well. And that will be a means of thawab. Now, for example, when you're working on something, as I said, we react straight away. Get a notification, pop up, react. So at that time, you know, you have do not disturb mode, for example, on many phones. Or, you know, you have ways where you can minimize that, so nothing pops up in front of you, nothing distracts you.
And well, you mentioned that do not disturb mode, yeah. One Islam brother I know, he puts it on do not disturb mode, then he checks it. message koni hai kya wajah? Oh, sorry, I put you on do not disturb. You're disturbing your own self.
No, when you're dedicated to a work, you know, you allocate that time, and that should all be the only thing that you do. And this is what I was getting onto. Now, for example, something pops up, you think, well, no harm, I'm going to quickly check that. It's going to take a minute or so. You know, people that really want to achieve something in life, they would work like this. They'd assign a time for a task, and they're not going to do anything whatsoever in that task before, because they know. Now, in terms of research, what is it? That when you're into something, you know, you've been doing it for a while, you're really into it, your focus is on a different level. But if you go and do something else, even if it's about a minute or so, when you come back, it will take you about half an hour or so to get back to that same level of focus. So you haven't just wasted that 1 minute, but rather you wasted half an hour because you have slowed down in terms of your process. There's this other thing, you know, like I sometimes say this to some of the brothers that ask generally in terms of, you know, especially students that with regards to studies, and I say, everybody has, a lot of people have a to-do list. I've got to get this done, get this done. And that stays in the to-do list because we never get the time to go around it. Before that to-do list, I've got to make a not-to-do list. You know, what should I not be doing? And think about, you know, genuinely think about the time that you are giving to each thing. And out of those things, which could I cut out? For example, do I need to be reading the news for about an hour or so in the morning? In fact, you know, the news itself now, the people that really want to have achieve something and they want to have a good day throughout the whole day, even, you know, for once again, not talking from a religious point of view. Generally, people will not read the news because in the news, what is the point of the news? You know, who's going to read a newspaper that is just talking about all good, all this is happening, that's happening? Make news appealing, even if a rat's died, anything's died, it's got to be about death. It's got to be a depressing piece of news. Just to get those views, get that. So that's all you're going to have. So you're going to start your day in such a depressed way.
That's the mission of the shaitan, that the world stays in depression so that the shaitan can do his work.
So you're going to start your day with such depression. So who told you to spend, you know, you have to spend an hour or so? You, I'm not saying, you know, don't be aware of what's going on around you, but you being aware of the affairs of the world is not going to make the world go faster, or it's not going to slow down the world. I didn't catch up with the news today, I don't know what's going to happen to the world. So, you know, things like that. Who told us we've got to do this?
You've got to keep yourself updated about the world because you live
in
the
world. Believe me, You will be updated because there are people that are constantly doing this and they're constantly talking about it. You never read the news, but by the end of the day, you'd know what's happening, you know, because you'd hear it from so many people.
Because everyone's at it. And then the whole majority of that news is fake news. Nothing happened. Sometimes the news is there. Someone sent me a message, and we were talking about this, and I was doing a bit of research, how people waste time. And there was this news article a couple of days ago where a homeless man helped someone, and now just to repay him back, they've started this, and I can't really remember what he said. Now the thing is, 2 days later, I found out, fake news, that never happened.
Oh, there is so much fake news on the internet.
Nothing happened. So that time that person's been reading that news, he spent about 5-6 minutes reading the article. 5-6 minutes of fake news, waste of time. And then you're going to tell others. These are going to tell others. So you've created a reaction, a chain. It's all fake news going out there. And like you said, everything, majority of the time, is just to depress a person. And then what will happen? You're so depressed, that will affect your ibadat, that will affect your work, that will affect your family. It affects everything. If you're not in the right of the mind, in the right mind state, it's going to affect your whole life.
Well, from a research point of view as well, you know, your creativity and your ability to carry out tasks at a good level, that depends a lot on your mood. You know, your psychology impacts directly on your physiology. So your physical state is very, you know, greatly affected by what's going on in your mind. So if you're not in the right mind frame and mindset, you are going to be missing out on a lot of things.
One of the beauty of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to stay quiet most of the time, And whenever he needed to speak, he will speak.
So he won't speak unless it was beneficial.
Yeah. Now, and then, you know, how can we even think that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ma'azallah, is going to say something that that's not going to benefit him? Whatever he said is benefiting the ummah. We've only got a few minutes left. Any final words? And then, inshallah, we can wrap it up.
Now, like I said, for example, now if we cannot, if we're shocked by what we do over 2-3 days, you know, what are we going to do on the Day of Judgment when we're held answerable to everything? And like I said at the beginning, time management is something that we use. Before getting on to time management, we've got to manage ourselves. We've got to remove whatever distractions we have. And you know, there is all sorts of website blockers, all sorts. Make it as difficult as you can to access these time wasters. And when you can get to that point, and as I said, if you can stay away from them for about a month or so, you'll easily be able to, inshallah, then, you know, that temptation will start to go as well. But it's about making a start. We can hear speeches for the rest of our lives, but if we don't implement what we're hearing, nothing's going to change.
MashaAllah, that's beautiful words, MashaAllah, Marbe. Allah Ta'ala reward you for that. And MashaAllah, Azza wa Jal, you know, this is the beauty of Dawat Islami, that Dawat Islami is always keeping us busy in good things. You know, Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, you're studying as well, you're in your final year, MashaAllah, but yet you are, you know, you've made a timetable of your life that you're giving, you know, time for your deen, for your family, and this is what the life is about. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, Dawat Islami is here for you. Seriously, wallah, you know, Dawat Islami is a lifesaver for us. You know, come into Dawat Islami. Don't look at Dawat Islami from a far distance. You know, Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal. Amar bhai, you've got a degree as well? Computer IT, yeah? Am I right?
Qualified.
Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, yeah? Now, the thing is, I didn't want to put you on the spot, but what I'm trying to say, you know, sometimes what people will say, oh, Thiga, you're only doing one thing, you don't understand what's happening in the world. You know, we don't live in cuckoo land, we live in the real land, yeah? We live amongst everyone. Now, we have, Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, many, many Islamic brothers who are educated in the dunya, but Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, they're educated in the deen as well. So, next time when you have this thought that, you know, Maulvis are only, you know, they don't know anything about that, you know, you come to Madani channel, you'll find Muftiyane Kiram, MashaAllah, Azza wa Jal, doing their work, Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, in Madani channel. You come into Madani channel, you'll see scholars, Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, directors. You've got directors in Madani channel, MashaAllah, are scholars. And Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, you've got the cameraman, MashaAllah, they read their namaz, they do everything, but yet they're working, you know, for the media. So Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, there is no excuse, seriously, there is no excuse at all. Come to Dawat Islami, Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, Dawat Islami will provide you with that work that you are saying, I've got nothing to do. We'll give you a jadwal, we'll give you a timetable. Just act upon that. Inshallah, Azza wa Jal, Allah Ta'ala will give you barakat and blessing. May Allah Ta'ala reward us. Keep watching Madani channel. I'll see you next time. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ala
Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam. صلى الله عليه وسلم. May Allah increase the honor and grace, the rank of our master.